If you say so many times, I might just punch you.
Now I'm conscious about it.
I'm kidding, I won't punch you.
Hey fans, you're listening to
My Drunken Fandom! Woo! Yes, I have already started drinking.
And we're talking about Disney.
Woo! Woo!
Before we get started, let's get straight into
nerd news.
Nerd news.
Coming at you hot.
The new teaser released for Fahrenheit 451, which looks awesome. It's based on the Ray Bradbury novel, which was one of my favorites back in high school. In a terrifying, carefree future, a young man, Guy Montag, whose job as a fireman is to burn all books, questioning his actions after meeting a young girl, and begins to rebel against society. It premieres this year on HBO.
I'm excited. I mean, I don't really know how I feel about the movie itself, but I love the book.
I love the book.
So plus, I'm curious how they're going to make it. But I also like that they have, oh my gosh, what's the name of the actor that's
Michael
playing?
B. Jordan?
Yes.
Oh yeah, he's going to be so good.
After watching him on Black Panther, I think that's the only reason I'm kind of excited, just because I've seen him in other movies too, and he's got a lot of talent. Pottermore posted today about a Harry Potter game on your phone. I'm so excited! I saw the trailer, and me and one of my coworkers kind of fangirled a little. We were just really happy that we finally got like a decent looking game. And it's for our phones, which is also a plus, because whenever you look at the trailer, it doesn't look like a game for your phone. And I mean, I think a lot of people after Pokemon Go were kind of hoping that Harry Potter would do the same thing, same kind of thing.
I think they're planning to, actually.
So yeah, that made me really excited.
Gem City released their new trailer for the game. It's not out yet, but it will be released this year. You can pre-register on Google Play. If you're on iOS, you gotta wait a little bit.
Haha!
But if you
enjoy for life.
But the trailer kind of shows off. It looks kind of like Sims with Harry Potter mixed with like an RPG mystery, and you can pick your house, you can change your character, you can go on adventures, meet new friends and enemies.
You can meet Snape. And McGonagall. Oh my gosh, I'd love to meet McGonagall. Even though it's through my phone, it still counts.
The Witcher's Netflix showrunner listed characters that will actually be in the show.
What is Witcher?
It is one of the greatest games of all time. In my opinion, Witcher 3, and many agree with me, Witcher 3 is probably one of the greatest made video games of all time. And Netflix coming out with a new series about it, to me, says it's like the new Game of Thrones. Please be good. Please be good. Please be
Gotta
good.
Gotta love Netflix, but sometimes they're hit or miss.
Well, luckily this time, the producer and writer is Lauren Hisrich. She was also the executive producer on Daredevil and Defenders.
Nice.
So, should be pretty good.
So it's gonna have a lot of action and cussing.
It includes all the characters from the games, as well as some characters from the original novels, like Witcher-killing bounty hunter Leo Bonhart.
Next on the news, Avengers! Marvel, what the fuck are you doing with us? Playing with our emotions. But Avengers Infinity War was moved up a week. So instead of being on May 4th, it is now on April 27th. Holy shit. Like, when I saw that earlier, I was like, okay, this is not real. I was like, someone obviously is messing with us. Some fan out there was like, I'm gonna do this and see what happens. But it had the Marvel icon, and I'm like, it's not some kind of fan page. And so I clicked on the comments, and sure enough, I read through the comments, and all these people were like freaking out, being like, oh my god, it's real. And so I clicked on the Marvel icon just to make sure it was the Marvel page, and then I freaked out. I had to make sure that I had the correct sources before I panicked.
I actually thought the same thing, because the way it was announced was actually a conversation between Robert Downey Jr. and Marvel Studios.
Of course.
So it was like, you see Robert Downey Jr. tweeting back and forth between Marvel. Marvel goes, aren't you excited, Robert, about the new... I wrote it on here.
On a scale of 1 to infinity, how excited are you to see Infinity War on May 4th?
And Downey responded, any chance I could see it earlier, which led to the studio's big reveal, anything for you, Mr. Stark. How's April 27th? I'm so excited.
You know, if I could die and come back again, I'd want to be Robert Downey Jr. Minus the drugs in jail.
Minus the drugs
in jail.
Last but not least, Ralph Breaks the Internet trailer has been released. The whole new movie takes place 6 years after saving the arcade from Turbo's vengeance. Sugar Rush arcade cabinet has broken, forcing Ralph and Vanellope to travel to the internet at the newly installed Wi-Fi router at Libworks Arcade to retrieve the piece capable of saving the game, according to IMDb. Another cool thing, according to IMDb, so I was like researching and just kind of looking up the movie a little bit, and there's some pretty big headliners in the cast.
You mean like characters or voices?
Like both, actually. Both. It's all of these great characters with their original voice actors.
Okay, but not just any characters. They are the Disney characters,
yes.
Okay?
We got Merida, Moana, Mulan, Ariel, and even C-3PO. With the original actor from C-3PO. So
I swear, if they have Ariel come up on there and she's not talking about dingle hoppers, I'm going to be very upset.
Might actually break the internet.
Yes, all just listing off of those characters. I mean, C-3PO. I mean, come on.
Yeah.
That will definitely break the internet, and I'm surprised it hasn't yet. I'm surprised no one's even brought it up yet.
I don't know. How is that not being talked about?
I have no idea. Maybe because it's just so new, and I don't know. I gotta be honest, though. I haven't even seen the first one.
Oh, God. I need to educate you. It's a great
movie.
What
do you mean to educate me? I don't know. It's just weird.
We're gonna have a movie night together.
We always have movie nights together.
Well, we're gonna have another one.
A Disney movie night?
Yeah. Ralph Breaks the Internet premieres November 21st. If you want more news, be sure to follow us on Twitter at MyDrunkenFandom.
Yeah, we're on Twitter now.
Woo, we got the tweets.
Tweet, tweet. And since we were just talking about Disney, that is what we're going to be discussing today.
Woo!
Love Disney. There's actually so many theories on Disney and just...
There are too many. Like, we both have, like, lists and lists.
I was really excited because, again, I'm a Pinterest board. Mm-hmm. Full of all these theories and just like funny little things that I found because I love Disney. I mean, how can you not love Disney?
I think we've got some good ones here. I'm pretty sure mine are better than yours, though. Mine are gonna crush
Chill. Okay. The first one I'm gonna do, it's Disney. It's also Pixar, so it's a mix of the two. It says here, John Negroni claims that the last 14 Pixar movies all exist in the same universe. So I'm just going to read this off, and it's going to tie in all together, and your mind's going to be blown at the end, okay? So here we go. The timeline begins with Brave, set in the Dark Ages. It explains why animals can have human characteristics. Magic is provided by a witch who mysteriously vanishes every time she goes through a door. The animals affected by the witch interbreed, which explains why they can talk in other Pixar movies. Up's Charles Muntz creates technology to harness the animal's power. The animal's intelligence grows, which is proved in Finding Nemo, resulting in an industrial revolution that begins in Up, run by the corporation, by and large, BNL. BNL is also the reason that humans in WALL-E flee to space, providing that technology gains power over humans. The Incredibles syndrome uses this technology in attempts to create a genocide. Technology's rise in the Industrial Revolution leads to pollution, which makes Earth unfit for humans. But in the end credits of WALL-E, life returns to Earth, resulting in a bug's life. In the meantime, a new super species is born. The monsters have an energy crisis, which is supplied by the humans by the way of time travel. But what happened to Boo? She knows nothing of the future. So by the means of time travel, they actually have a picture of all the doors from Monsters, Inc.
Yeah.
Going through. And so those aren't just regular doors. Those are portals. And so then it questions, like, but what happened to Boo? She knows of a future world. So she was able to see that. And then it shows her a picture drawing that little snake thingy. Anyways, so she remembers that doors are the key to how she found Sully in the first place and becomes the witch from Brave. She uses all the will of the wisps for time travel, which explains why she's now in the Dark Ages. In other words, she magically creates these doors to find Sully. And we know this because her wood carving of Sully in her workshop. What? And like, I'll try to It's a really long, I don't know if I can even save this. I have to, like, probably do screenshots of this and post it. But, I mean, it goes through and you see the changes as you look at all the Pixar movies and how they all tie in. And I just think it's kind of cool that they include Bug's Life because that came out in, like, the 90s. Yeah. I was, like, little when that came out. It's just crazy. So how do you feel about that?
I love it because it's pretty far-fetched and it's hard to say whether or not it's just people just projecting and just kind of creating their own fan theories around it. Mm-hmm. But it works so well.
It makes sense because you got cars. Yeah. Involved, which had to do with, like, you know, the pollution, people not being there, and all this other stuff. So mm-hmm. It's just crazy. And, like, in the movies and stuff, you see, by and large, you see all these things everywhere, yeah. And you're just like, well, what the fuck is that doing there? And, like, in your head, you're like, oh, they just put that there because, you know, it's in their same company. You know, it's Disney, they own it, so they can put it there.
And the ending's my favorite part, though. How it ends with Boo is actually
the witch.
The witch from Merida.
She just goes crazy.
Yeah.
So, the thing that, like, really shocked me on that was just the fact that it was time travel the whole time.
Oh,
With that. And I'm just like, what? I don't know. It's just crazy. Yeah.
That's actually one of my favorite fan theories for Disney/Pixar.
And that's just Pixar. Mm-hmm. That's not, like, including Disney princesses and everything, although it shows Merida, yeah. But that's, like, the only one included in that.
Yeah.
So, yeah, that one's just... It's a lot to digest. It really is. I think I had to look over that so many times, and I started thinking back on the movies, and I'm like, oh, yeah. Wow, I didn't realize that. So, yeah, what you got for me?
All right, I got some good ones. I know Beauty and the Beast is, like, one of your favorites, right? Mm-hmm. It's one of my favorites, the live action. I loved.
Yes, the live action was spectacular.
Yeah. Well, in the beginning, she sings about a book, and I always kind of wondered what book she's talking about. Is it Romeo and Juliet? Is it some other love story? Like, I mean, the Disney writers, they usually are referencing something. Yeah. And they always reference their older or upcoming works all the time. And the biggest theory is that she's actually talking about Aladdin.
Ooh, I've seen this one.
Yeah. She talks about in a far-off place, which obviously in Arabia, daring sword fights, and we definitely see that in Aladdin. Magic spells, because we've got the genie, and a prince in disguise. We've got Aladdin, of course. But he says, here's where she meets Prince Charming, but she won't discover that it's him until chapter 3. So at the first, she meets Prince Charming, and it's Aladdin, and he's just a street rat, but then we discover him dressed up as a prince, and we won't discover that it's Prince Charming until chapter 3. So.
I like that one.
You like that one?
Yeah. That's actually one of my favorite ones, just because you're like, or if you wanted to, could turn it into Harry Potter.
What?
Yeah, think about it. Let me see the images. Okay, so it's talking about the favorite, and it's far off places. I mean, it shows her in France, but whatever, it could be London. Just okay. Go bear with me. Sure. Okay, in the future. Mm-hmm. I don't know about the sword fights, but it could be talking about wands, and you got magic spells, and then a prince in disguise if you talk about Snape. Boom. She's talking about Harry Potter. Because, I mean, Emma Watson plays her anyway, so, ha!
No, not in the original.
It doesn't matter, it works!
Okay, whatever your heart desires.
Thank you!
Aladdin and Beauty and the Beast were released pretty close together, so it makes sense to me. I think that one might actually be true. What else you got for me?
Alright. This one has to do with Toy Story. So, I'm just gonna read it. So why, since Woody is such an old and rare toy, would Andy's mom buy Andy a Woody doll? He obviously wouldn't be on the shelves at the local toy store. My theory is that since Emily is Andy's mom, she found a Woody doll, remembered her Jessie doll she had, and felt sentimental towards Woody. So there's this whole theory that Jessie belonged to Andy's mom. And going back and looking at the movies, whenever Jessie is, like, reminiscing on playing with Emily. Is it Emily? Yeah, Emily. They're, like, showing you the bedroom of the little girl and everything. And the bedroom, if you look at it, it's set in the 70s. And that would make it the correct timeline to being Andy's mom. So it says here, the scene where Emily leaves Jessie is decorated according to the styles of the 70s and 80s when Emily leaves. The decor, the clothing, and car can be attributed to the mid-late 80s. If Emily did run off with a boy, and if she got pregnant, it makes sense that in Toy Story, Andy's about 5 or 6, and that movie was released in 95. So Emily gets pregnant, there's a shotgun wedding, Andy's born, the father gets a good job and a big house, now we come to the first Toy Story. It says, or he couldn't handle being settled down and left Emily alone with Andy and newborn Molly. Because if you think about it, in Toy Story, you don't ever see the dad.
Yeah.
Like, he doesn't exist. And so, also note the houses, the old house and the new house is significantly smaller. And so that is due to the fact that Emily is now a single mother and couldn't afford the big house. And they also said that she didn't really move anywhere, you know, outside the city. They actually stayed within the city. And says another thing to consider, at the end of Toy Story 2, why doesn't Andy's mom question the sudden appearance of Jessie and the new toys? Says she doesn't recognize her Jessie doll, nor does Jessie recognize her, but she gets sentimental again and allows Andy to keep her. So the theory is that Jessie used to belong to Andy's mom. Mm-hmm. And that's why she was, like, so for him having Andy to begin with.
That makes sense, too.
That one's kind of, like, more of a tearjerker and kind of just interesting how it just kind of came full circle.
So,
and then if you think about it, Jessie wouldn't recognize Emily anyway because she was an adult.
Oh, yeah, that's true. And, like, plus Andy has, like, a hat that really looks a lot like Jesse's hat, which I think I've seen that somewhere. I like that one because, like, it really it explains a lot of that goes on in the background, like, why we never see the father, why they're moving, and you know, why he
they
has
They had
such
the garage sale, remember?
Yeah, yeah.
So they sold a lot of stuff in the garage sale, and then, I mean, yeah, so there wasn't a whole lot of the kid stuff.
It really kind of shows how great they are at storytelling, though. Just kind of writing the whole backstory without even showing it to us. Like, they have a whole backstory of why everything's happening, but they just don't really need to show it to us.
And I think that's kind of a cool thing, because I think in the 90s, divorces and stuff were going on a lot.
Oh, yeah.
I think. So that just kind of gave, like, a little nod to single moms or dads.
Yeah.
What have you. I have a few more. I'm just like, I don't know. I have one that's kind of super depressing and one that's just interesting.
We actually got time. All right. So this one's a long one.
Okay.
But I kind of like it. And the theory is that Lilo and Stitch and Moana actually have the same characters in them. Or one of the same characters. It's a little bit of a stretch. But if you remember from Lilo and Stitch, and I saw this a long time ago, but in it, Lilo was late to her hula class because she was paying a weekly visit to Pudge, the fish, to bring him a sandwich. When asked why she visits him, she says it's because Pudge controls the weather. In Moana, as the theory explains, Maui lived for 1,000 years before he met Moana, which means it's completely plausible that he could live an additional 1,000 years, putting him in the same era as Lilo. And we know that Maui is a demigod, the ruler of the wind and the sea, and can lasso the sun with his hook, and is pretty much the controller of the weather, right?
Yeah.
So that would make a whole lot of sense that maybe Pudge, maybe they kind of took that character a little bit, that Pudge and Maui are actually the same character. And the theory actually goes in pretty deep and a lot of interesting moments. Why would Maui attach to Lilo? In Lilo and Stitch, we find out that Lilo's parents died in a car accident on a rainy night. And because it was a rainy night, Maui has control of the sun, the wind, and the sky. Could Maui be watching over Lilo because he had something to do with killing Lilo's parents?
Oh, wow. I didn't even think about that.
Yeah.
I don't remember what the whole thing with the sandwiches was.
Yeah,
it's pretty crazy.
He's kind of mischievous. He's kind of just messing around a lot. He kind of went too far, maybe, and contributed to the death of her parents.
Yeah, he's probably just on a fit because he's just smelly. So maybe, nobody thanked him because he said, well, you're welcome so many times, and nobody thanked him. So he just decided to throw a storm, and he killed little girl's parents.
So the theory is that Lilo constantly visits Pudge because she knows that he controls the weather, and Lilo wants to protect her family from further misfortune. So Lilo is still caught in the past that her parents died in the weather and in the rain, and so that's why she goes to Pudge, because Pudge controls the weather.
I like the other theory more.
But, no, but, like, that Pudge actually is Maui.
kind of like understands.
Yeah, and okay. But
after you reverted that, I'm like, no, that's more depressing.
Yeah, it's super depressing. More. It's so depressing. But I mean it's kind of writing in backwards. It's kind of like writing in reverse.
Yeah.
But I kinda like it. Like what if they did, what if they are
connected?
It is
a little bit of a stretch, but yeah. That's kinda cool. I mean, they're in Hawaii, so
yeah.
it's plausible. So
I don't know, I like that one. I like that one a lot.
That's pretty cool.
You got another one for us?
I mean, I have a lot. So I'm gonna do one it's old and new. This has to do with Frozen. And then I'll explain. So, again, this is from Pinterest, and so this is what one of the users found. And it says, according to Chris, and I'm not sure who Chris is exactly, it says, they, the parents of Anna and Elsa, didn't die on the boat. Do you remember how they said that they died on a boat ride?
Yeah.
So, they didn't die on the boat. They get washed up on a shore in a jungle island. The queen gave birth to a baby boy. They built a treehouse. They got eaten by a leopard. And that sounds kind of like, okay, you're just describing Tarzan, whatever. And then it shows a picture of Anna and Elsa's parents and then the picture of Tarzan's parents side by side. There's obvious differences, like, you know, the mustache has grown out on the dad and, you know, the mom's hair is all wild and crazy and long. And it's like, it's pretty obvious that the couples are alike in some ways. I mean, they have the same eyes, a lot of their features. I mean, the dad with a long, sharp nose. And they said, but the hairstyles are very different. And they said, you see, said whenever in the movie during Frozen, it says, we'll see you in 2 months. And it's like, this would give enough time for both parents' hair to grow out to the length that shows in the Tarzan pictures. It says, but if you notice, most of the time we see the queen, she's in a really dark lit scene. And it's also in the winter, so this is in Frozen time. It looks like she's a brunette. However, they show Tarzan's mom as being a redhead. So this is how they kind of tie it all in together. It says, my theory is that her hair goes brown during the winter, or even a dark red that looks to be brown, which is really common. Usually people who have like light-colored hair sometimes will change with the seasons, you know, sun bleach, you know, all that good stuff. And so whenever she's in the winter, like it is over there in wherever Frozen is, I forget what it's called, her hair's just going to be dark, just because they're in the dark and it's cold. But it says, if you look closely, you can see that there is a dash of red in her hair in Frozen. And it said, and that would explain where Anna gets her hair color from, because she's actually a redhead. And some other interesting, like, similarities between Anna, Elsa, and Tarzan. Big blue eyes. They all have blue eyes. And so that goes to say that they are siblings. So that also kind of ties into another theory. It ties it all in together. So in, let me see which one it was. At Anna and Elsa, I think it was during her crowning or something like that. You actually see Rapunzel in the background.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
So there is that theory that they're cousins. And so they show the picture of...
How are they cousins?
Rapunzel's mom and Anna and Elsa's mom are sisters. Uh-huh. And if you put them side by side, they look like sisters. And then it goes again, showing the big eyes and all the similarities. I need to look for that one. But that one is also... It's just so many things. And so... Whenever Anna and Elsa's parents leave, that should be around the same time that Rapunzel's getting married, because they say, we're leaving for your cousin's wedding. So, yeah.
I've heard the one where, like, the ship at the bottom of that Ariel sees is actually...
Yep, I have that one on here, too.
But with the baby, when they get to the... When they land, Tarzan's already born. Right, they already have a baby with them.
Yeah, but they could have been coming back from the wedding. I mean, I don't know how long they were gone. I mean, it says 2 months, but it's a stretch. I don't know. It was just something that I thought was kind of interesting that they could tie that in together.
No, I've heard that one. I think that one's confirmed, actually.
Yes.
But I don't know. I feel like it was kind of confirmed just to kind of add some PR a little bit. Because, like, the baby thing throws me off a lot. That, like, how did you have a baby in 2 months?
I mean, they never really show the mom's stomach, so...
That's true.
Yeah, so, yeah, I mean, Disney always leaves those gaps like that, so... Yeah. So there's that. So, I mean, you guys can think what you want, but
yeah,
Tarzan could be royalty.
Oh,
think about that. Think about an ape that. Man coming to the, the snow.
So this is actually one that I've always thought, and anytime I ever brought it up, people are like, no, you're being ridiculous. But I still think this is true, and apparently I'm not the only one who thinks this. So Frankenweenie, Corpse Bride, and Nightmare Before Christmas are all the same main characters, the boy and the dog. They even look the same. You see the progression of the dog alive, then dying, then becoming a ghost. You see the boy, then he kind of goes to the underworld, and then he becomes the Pumpkin King. I mean, that would make so much sense.
Yeah, just like their body stature and all that stuff. So I can agree with that one. The only issue that I have with that is that Frankenweenie is at a different time than the Corpse Bride. The characters look very similar. I mean, it's the same type of dog throughout. It's the same kind of looking scroggly little person. But they have very similar characteristics and how they act and all that stuff. If it wasn't for the time period difference, I would totally agree with it. Sorry that I had to just bust your bubble on that one.
No, you're right. I didn't think about it. I never saw Frankenweenie.
No? It was set more like if it was in the 80s or 90s. So they have electricity and all that good stuff. So, yeah. I do like that one, though. I mean, I'm a huge Tim Burton fan. I love Tim Burton. So I saw that one, too, and I was going to bring it up, but then I remember the whole timeline thing, and I'm like, maybe not.
Yeah.
So, I mean, the theory goes that it's all just one big movie. So you start watching it from Frankenweenie, and then you go to Corpse Bride, and then Nightmare Before Christmas.
Yeah. That makes sense, though. Yeah. I get that. Okay.
So can I throw a funny one out there? I mean, all right. I have a depressing one. I actually have two funny ones. Just so I can lighten the mood a little bit. This one has to do with Monsters, Inc.
Ooh.
And it's kind of a funny one. I actually really enjoyed it when I saw this one. So this one is, it's actually a scene. And it was just some fans that kind of noticed what was going on. So it's not really a theory. It's just what someone caught. Fuck. Can't speak. So this was during Monsters University. So, you know, if you guys haven't seen Monsters University, it's actually really funny. It's actually cute. For it being a sequel or a prequel or whatever, it was really cute. So it shows Mike Wazowski talking to, oh my gosh, what's his name? Sid? Is that his name? Sid?
Yeah.
So it shows him talking to Sid, but at first they're having a conversation in the hallways and all of a sudden Sid just goes invisible. And Mike goes, wow, you just disappeared. Sid says, sorry, if I do that in scaring class, I'll be a joke. He says, no, it's totally great. You have to use it. You have to use your ability of going, you know, invisible.
Mm-hmm.
And he was like, really? You sure? He's like, yeah, but you might want to lose the glasses. It's a giveaway. So it's kind of funny that, like, in the scenes, it shows where the glasses are just kind of floating because Sid goes invisible. And so Sid has that realization. He's like, oh, I should just take off my glasses. And they're like the big, huge, honking things, you know, they're like super magnified. He takes them off and then just instantly starts squinting. And it's like, well, the comments on here said, well, that was one of the quickest character developments I've seen. And then this is the part that really got me. And I just started laughing really hard. It said, are you seriously telling me that this villainous squinting and peering about is because he's meant to be wearing glasses? So the whole time Sid is squinting, it's not so much that he's just contemplating some kind of master plan. It's because he can't see.
That would also explain why he can never see Boo. Anytime she's sneaking around everywhere, he always somehow misses her.
Doesn't he, like, kind of miss the door, too? That's why he has to crawl around it.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh, that's so funny.
That explains a lot. That's funny.
All right, and then I think this is another Monsters, Inc. one. And this is Sid talking to Sully. So Sid goes, I heard humans skin monster and make toilet covers out of their fur. Sully goes, no, that's nonsense. Meanwhile, in Toy Story 3...
Oh my god!
Toy Story 3, when the little girl is in the bathtub playing with her new toys that, you know, she got from Andy, the toilet cover is the fur from Sully.
That's so sad.
It's hilarious. So it's just, It's just funny. I think it's hilarious. And that kind of also goes into the whole time travel thing.
Oh, yeah.
There you go. Full circle. Woo! So, yeah. So, that's what we got for you guys.
Yeah.
Let us know how you feel. I'm curious what everyone thinks about the Tarzan and Elsa and all that. So
I know there's a ton of other fan theories that we probably missed. So, if you've got one, please, please send them to us. Go to MindDragonFandom.com and hit that message button. We want to hear your fan theories.
Yeah. One that I should have gotten into, and I didn't save it, was the relation between Elsa and Jack Frost.
Oh, no, I've heard that. Wait, no, is it that one?
It has to do with Jack Frost's sister is actually Elsa's mom. And it was the Moon King or whatever that gave the powers. It told Jack's sister that
your
offspring will have the powers that I give them.
Yeah.
And it's done as a homage to Jack Frost.
Yeah, I've heard that. I like that one a lot.
I like that one too.
Yeah.
So.
All right, well.
Just to throw that one at you guys at the end. You're welcome.
We tried to throw as many theories at you as we could this episode. We hope you liked it.
Yeah, this was fun. I was actually really excited about this one.
Yeah, we both love Disney and Pixar, so we'll definitely be coming back to
Next week we get to go watch Fantasia.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We're seeing Fantasia and
at Bass Performance Hall in Fort Worth. I'm excited.
Oh, yeah. Thanks for joining us, guys.
Yeah. Sorry if some of those were kind of winded. There was just, you have to make sure to give all that evidence to support your facts or support your theory, so.
Yeah, so we would love to hear your comments, and we would love to hear your comments on the podcast in general. This is a new thing for us, and we're trying to get better at it as we go along. So just leave your comments, share with us your thoughts, share the podcast.
If I need to drink more like I did that first one, just tell me, because I usually only drink like one right before we start.
Yeah.
But I feel like I need to be more drunk. But y'all let me know.
Yeah.
All right. Yeah.
Thanks for joining us, and be sure to tune in next week for another podcast
of My Drunken Fandom. Woo!